This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we said that inshallah, if we can avoid the major sins, then we are safe. So what are those major sins? And unfortunately, we don't have a definitive list of the major sins, but we have tried to put an ayah and a hadith when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, avoid the seven deadly sins. We put an ayah and this hadith together, and we have come up with a list of nine. And this is not, as I said, the definitive list. The major sins are not only these nine sins, but these are amongst of the kaba'ir, of the most serious of sins. And inshallah, we have been discussing these sins of the past few weeks. We have now reached number six on our list, which is sihr, magic, or sorcery. We have discussed sorcery now for 2 weeks. This is the third week where we're discussing sorcery and magic in detail. We spoke about an introduction to sorcery and the evils of sorcery and the evils of magic and what makes it a major sin. And we mentioned the ayat and the ahadith which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, mentioning that magic is of the kaba'ir. It is one of the major sins. To practice magic or delve into it is a major sin. One that renders one not only a sinner, but results in kufr. That one is taken outside of the fold of Islam. As Allah mentions in the Quran, that those who practice magic, that they are the kafirs, that they have nullified their Islam by practicing magic. We mentioned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how magic causes harm to those whom it affects. That it has the ability to separate between a husband and a wife, and it has the ability to cause sickness and illness. But of course, the real harm, the one who is hurt the most by magic, is the practitioner of magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the magician will never ever be successful in this dunya or in the akhirah. And that which he has gained of some power has caused him to lose so much more in the akhirah, that he is the loser in the dunya and the akhirah. And even those who go out of entertainment, we mentioned, the one who goes to visit a fortune teller or reads that horoscope or listen to someone who claims to predict the future, if you believe him, then you have committed an act of kufr. And according to the hadith, and if you just go for the sake of amusement and don't believe him, then your salah is not accepted for 40 days. And the punishment of the practice of magic is death in the sharia. So we have mentioned it's a serious crime. One of the major crimes, one of the most serious of crimes that one can ever fall into. So we ask the question, is magic real? Is there truth to it? Is there a power behind it? Is there reality to it? Or is it all tricks and illusion? From the hadith and from the ayat of the Quran, without a doubt, and the ulama are in the majority agree, that without a doubt, there is definitely power to sihr. That there is a reality to it. Yes, the vast majority of those who claim to practice magic are just fraudsters and liars and illusionists. But they are complete and they are real sahir, a sahir, a magician. And they are those that practice real magic, as Allah mentions in the Quran. And those who practice magic, they learn from them, from the devils, from the shayateen, that by which they can cause separation between a man and his wife. They have the power. They learn the means to cause a man and wife to separate, to cause anger and hatred, and to cause, in other ayat which were mentioned, to cause harm and illnesses. So magic has power to it. And we ask, then, where does this power come from? Of course, everything comes from Allah. There is no power, there is no might besides that of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything. The good comes from Him and the bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah mentions Surah Falaq. But how is it that magic has come about? And we are taught, and we know this from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about magic in Surah Baqarah. I mentioned Surah 2, verse 102, a long ayah discussing magic in detail. Allah says magic has come from the devils. The devils meaning the jinn. So behind the world, behind magic comes the interaction between the world of man, insan, and the world of jinn. And this is where we discussed last week, and inshallah we continue with our discussion about who are the jinn. What are the jinn? What is this world that we cannot see? How do we understand it? And how do we interact with this world? So we continue with our discussion surrounding the world of the jinn and the devils. We mentioned last week, we asked, who are the jinn? Where did they come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He is the creator of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the jinn, after Allah speaks about insan, after Allah says, I created man from clay, I created Adam from clay, before them, and the jinn, we created aforetime, meaning before Nabi Adam was created, Allah created the jinn from the smokeless flame of fire. That the jinn are a creation made of fire, whereas man is made from tin, from clay, and where the angels are made from light. So these are three special creations of Allah. The angels made of light, the jinn made of fire, and after them, men were created from clay. Why were they created? What are their purpose to do? We know the angels are there simply to obey and worship Allah, and they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are complete obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are the jinn? What is their purpose? The jinn are here like we are here. The jinn have free will like we have free will. And they have the ability to choose right from wrong like we have the ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I created not the jinn and humans, except with one purpose, they should worship me alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the jinn and insan this ability to choose between right and wrong. For them, the jinn and the insan, there will be a day of qiyamah. And there will be a Jannah and a Jahannam, depending on the choices that they made. So the jinn are like us. They are here simply to fulfill their task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. And their place will be with Allah if they obeyed. And their punishment will be with Allah if they disobeyed. So the jinn, nothing unique to them. They are creation of Allah like we are. And they have their role and function, which is to worship Allah. Why are they called the jinn? You'll find in the Arabic language, words that have the jim and the noon sound close together, it signifies something which is hidden. Jannah, which means a garden, you cannot see inside because it's covered in trees. And of course, the Jannah is something which we will only see, inshallah, once we pass. So inshallah, we'll all see the Jannah al-Firdaus. The fetus is called the jinan. The fetus is something you cannot see. And the jinn as well, it is their term jinn because they are hidden from our sight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms this in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily he, meaning Iblis, and his soldiers, and his tribe, and his people from the jinn, see you from where you cannot see them. So the jinn are able to see us, but we are unable to see them, that they are hidden from our sight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms that Allah gave them the ability to see us, but did not give us the ability to see them. So let us discuss more about this hidden world of the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything that is known and unknown, He informs us information about the jinn, so that we may benefit from this information, and so that we may keep ourselves safe and stay away from haram. Allah only gives us, and the Nabi Sallallahu only gives us, information that will benefit us. Anything extra than that, we might be curious, we might want to know more, and especially in this topic, so many people messaging me, sending me emails, they want to know more and more of this topic. Good, alhamdulillah, but there is a limit on which Allah did not tell us. And beyond that limit, it's not important. Allah only told us what is important, what you need to know. Beyond that, there's a science to it, yes, but Allah knows, and anything beyond that is just conjecture or falling even worse into haram, coming closer, like that moth going closer and closer to the fire until he falls inside and he is burnt. So let us understand what more about the jinn, based purely on the Quran and the authentic hadith, inshallah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us that the jinn are of three types. This hadith has been authenticated by Shaykh Albani, rahimahullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentions the jinn of three types. One type has wings. So one of the types of jinn, they have wings and they can fly. And they fly through the sama. And then there's a type that takes the form of snakes and dogs. And there's a type that moves from one spot to the next and they take a rest. Let's say the ulama disagree. What does this mean? Some say they jump from one object, possess one object, and then they move on and on and on. So they need a host, sort of. Right? Or they come into one location and they stay there, and they don't move like the flying jinn. Right? So we have three types of jinni. Allah subhanahu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do they look like? So we want to know, what does the jinn look like? Does the Quran mention what they look like? Of course, we cannot bring a jinn before us here. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as mentioned in the hadith, that some of them take the form of animals, some of them take the form of snakes and dogs. And in fact, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advises the people of Medina that there was a tribe of good jinn that lived close to Medina. Why? Because the Rasul was there. They want to learn from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you find a snake in your home, before you kill it, the people of Medina, first tell it to leave. It might be a jinn. Don't harm this animal without asking to leave. If it's a real snake, then it can cause you harm, then you're allowed to kill it, right? So some jinn have the ability to take, as I said, the form of snakes and dogs, whereas others, and this is the shayateen, they have an ugly appearance. And we know this from the ayah in the Quran, where Allah speaks about the tree of Zakum, that in Jahannam, the only tree that we know that can grow in Jahannam is called the tree of Zakum. That Nabi Sallallahu mentions, if a part of this tree were to fall on the earth, it will cause the entire earth to rot. Such a bad and filthy tree. Allah says in the Quran, verily it is a tree that springs out of the bottom of Jahannam, hellfire, and the shoots of its fruit stalks are like the heads of the shayateen. It looks like the devils. So, spiky, pussy, something that looks rotten and horrible, that the devils of the jinn have this appearance. They resemble the trees of Zakum. Beyond that, Allah does not go into further detail of discussion of what the jinn look like. What do the jinn eat? And do they drink? As they are creations like we are, they need to eat and they need to drink. The angels don't eat or drink, but the jinn do. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a hadith, and as I mentioned last week, that there are ahkam, there are laws pertaining to the jinn, right? There's even masail about, can we marry the female amongst the jinn? You know, we're not happy. The women of our insan is not enough. I want to maybe delve with the jinn. So of course, the ulama says, it's haram. It's haram. You have to deal, stay with the, your own kind. And then, but there's ahkam about what they can eat and drink. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in this hadith that the jinn came to him asking him, what is halal for us to eat? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that the bones from insan that has been slaughtered in the halal means that you can eat. So they also look for that certificate. Was this bone slaughtered correctly? Then they can eat from this. And the animals eat from the dung of, this is before we had cars, that the animals are allowed to eat from the dung of the animals that we have. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advises us, this is where it's important for us, don't use bones and the dung of animals or the feces of animals to make istinja. Before toilet paper, you in the desert, you find a bone, don't do that, because it's the food of the jinn, rather use a stone, right? This is the food of the jinn. Where do the jinn live and where do they dwell? From the hadith, and there are many ahadith which describe places where the jinn frequent, it's places that are usually away from insan, that they choose and prefer not to interact with insan. So they choose places which are secluded, abandoned homes, forests, deserts, valleys. That's why you'll find, and we'll mention Surah Jinn was revealed, the jinn came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was secluded alone in a valley, right? So the jinn choose these places. And the devils from amongst the jinn, the shayateen, they prefer places where the angels don't come, because they are able to see the angels. And which places do the angels not go to? Any place which has najasa, like a toilet, like a dumping ground, any place which is filthy, the angels don't go to those places. A place where haram is being made, the jinn prefer these places, even a cemetery. Places where you will find ibadah is not made. Places where ibadah is not made, the evil ones from the jinn don't come there. Because as we know from the hadith, the angels flock to like the masajid. Like in the Jumu'ah, the angels come to also listen to the lecture. So the jinn fear them and they stay away from such places. So the jinn are in secluded places. When we talk about exorcism, inshallah, in a week or two, you'd find one of the questions the exorcist asks, were you in this place before? This house was an abandoned place, because you could have come into a home that belonged to the jinn. So they choose places that are abandoned. And that's why in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you'll find that there are specific adhkar, specific du'as to be made when entering places like this, the toilet, the cemetery. There are specific du'as to be made, and usually for protection. A'udhu billahi min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. You seek refuge, ya Allah, from the evils. Why? What is evil when you enter the toilet? Not the smell, but there's something inside in there, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi Sallam taught us a dua for protection, we'll discuss in detail. The jinn are also able to get married, and they have offspring, and they are a race and a people, that a tribe that continues to grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, will you then, Allah speaking to us, ya insan, will you then, after Allah speaks about all the evils that Iblis has done, and he's promised to mislead us, Allah says then, will you then take him, Iblis, and his offspring, and his tribe, and his progeny, and his followers, as protectors and helpers, rather than me, rather than Allah, while they are enemies to you? But they have sworn that they will be there to harm insan. So we know that Iblis and his offspring, that Iblis, they get married, and the jinn, they have offspring, and they grow, and they multiply. They are a race that continues to grow. The jinn, of course, So these are normal qualities that they eat and they drink and they get married. There are special qualities that differentiate them from us. Apart from being hidden, we know that the jinn have been given special powers. And we talk and we'll inshallah discuss Surah Jinn and some of the ayat of Surah Jinn. So there's a specific surah in the Quran, Surah 72, just after Surah Tabarak, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah titled the jinn. How is it that a surah, Surah Jinn, came into being? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Ta'if. In the seerah we know the worst day of his life was the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if, where the people of Ta'if pelted him with stones and threw him out of their city. Nabi was very upset, very sad, and he went back to Makkah. But there's a distance between Makkah and Ta'if, and it was at night, and the Nabi was alone in a valley. And so the Nabi started to recite of the verses of the Quran. And a group from amongst the jinn heard these ayat, and they flocked around him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat, and this is a Surah Jinn. So Allah says, "Say, O Muhammad, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said," and the jinn heard the Quran, they said, "Indeed, we have heard an amazing Quran. It guides to the right course. And we have believed in it. We have believed and become Muslim. And we will never commit shirk with our Lord, with anyone. We won't worship anyone besides Allah." You see, the jinn have the same purpose. Their purpose is like our purpose. La ilaha illallah. That is their purpose, and that is our purpose. So in the Surah Al-Jinn, we'll choose ayat, which shows and demonstrates their abilities and their power. In Surah An-Naml, not Surah Jinn, we mentioned this last week about the strength and the speed of the jinn. When Nabi Sulaiman was in Babylon, said, "Who will bring me the throne of the queen in Africa?" So the queen was in Africa. She was coming to visit him in Babylon. He wanted to show her the power of Allah. He said, "Who will bring me her throne?" So when she comes here, she will be shocked and says, "How did my throne get here?" Right? So Nabi Sulaiman had jinn under his control. And one of these jinn, an ifrit, a powerful jinn, he stood up and ifrit said, "I will bring it to you. I'll bring the throne to you, Sulaiman, before you rise, before you even stand from your place. And indeed, I am this strong and trustworthy. I am strong and I can travel quickly." Right? So we know the jinn have strength, especially the ifrit. As we mentioned last week, an ifrit is a strong jinn. They have strength and they can travel at great speed. Surah Al-Jinn also explains their ability to travel into the sama and at great speed. So the jinn is telling the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "And we have sought to reach the heaven, we sought to go up in the sama, but found it filled with powerful guards and burning flames." I'll explain this in a minute. "And once those who enter the sama, they try to steal a hearing. And they say, 'And we used to sit therein in positions, in the sama, we used to sit together for a hearing to steal something from a hearing. But whoever listens now will find it burning flame in waiting for him.'" Find the sama protected. What is this ayah all about? The jinn have the ability to travel up into the sama. And in a hadith, the long hadith which is in the next slide, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains in Bukhari how commands are delegated by Allah Subhanahu. Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know in Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the night of destiny and decree, the angels are informed like their budget for the year. Malikul Maut, these are the arwah whose souls you're going to pull. The angels will bring rain, these are the areas where you're going to bring rain on this day and that day. The angels will cause earthquakes, this is your budget for the year. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all this from the beginning until the end of time. On Laylatul Qadr, Allah informs the angels about their commands. And they delegate it down to other angels. The beautiful hadith shows the power that when Allah speaks to the angels, they flap their wings out of fear. Their hearts they tremble when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them. And finally, when the fear subsides, now they give the commands lower down. And it passes down the samawat, down and lower to the different angels on the earth. And as it comes down, the jinn who are able to travel into the sama hear little bits. "Oh, that angel said there will be a rain in this country tomorrow." And they pass it on one to the other. So the jinn are able to steal a hearing from the angels, which Allah gave them. And therefore, it appears as though they can predict the future. But a time came when they couldn't enter the sama, they found it protected. What changed? They said, "Suddenly now, we find the sama protected with angels protecting the sama." Why? What was happening? The Quran was being revealed at that time with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And because the Quran is being revealed, no one is allowed to infiltrate or hear of the Quran before Jibreel sends it to the heart of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the jinn are still able to steal a hearing. And it's a chapter in Bukhari, our entire chapter devoted to this topic. So they have the ability to go into the sama and steal a little bit of hearing and transmit that information to the fortune teller. And they'll mix one piece of truth with 100 lies. They have the ability to move objects. We mentioned the throne of Bilqis, the throne that was brought, or the jinn said, I'll bring the throne to you, Nabi Sulaiman. And the hadith we mentioned last week, where the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, cover your utensils and tie your water skins and close your doors and keep your children close to you at night as the jinn spread out at such time and they snatch things away. So the jinn are able to move objects and grab objects, if just barely. Not all the time, but they, some of them have the ability, like the ifrit, powerful jinn, can do this. They have the ability to make noise and sound. So they have the ability, and we'll talk about this, to come into form that people can see. And they have the ability to make sound. In the story of Bani Israel, we know the story after Allah saved them from Fir'aun, and Nabi Musa went up to make itikaf with Allah. When he came back, what did he find? He found his people worshipping an idol, a calf, a cow made of gold. And they said, but ya Musa, look, it's making a sound. Allah says in the Quran, and he Samiri, the man who invented this calf, he extracted for them a calf which had a low sounding, made a sound, a moo. And they said, this is your Allah. And the Allah of Musa, this is the real Allah. But Musa forgot that this is Allah. Wa'iyadu billah. Right? But how was it that the sound came out of this calf? The ulama differ, but the majority say that a jinn entered it and made a sound which misled the people. The jinn have the ability to make noises and sounds. They have the ability, as I said, to take animal forms. And they have the ability to take even human forms. In a long hadith, the hadith is there. We won't discuss the hadith in length. Summary of the hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was in charge of protecting the Baytul Mal, the charity, right? So he was in charge of making sure the food is safe, which was go to the poor on Ramadan. And a man came and stole from this place, and he caught him. And the man said, you know, leave me, I'll tell you something of good information. Recite recite Ayatul Kursi at night, and an angel will protect you. And so Abu Hurairah let him go. The next day, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, you met a man, he told the truth, but he's a habitual liar. He always lies, but in this case, he told the truth. Do you know who that was? That was a devil. That was shaitan. So, we know the devils have the ability, very rarely, can take the form of humans, and they can come to you in human form. Some of the devils from Surah Al-Jinn, we know that they are good and bad ones amongst them. Some of the jinn. Jinn is the normal term for all of them. The evil ones from them are called the shayateen. So in Surah Al-Jinn, they tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and among us are the righteous, they are good, and among us are others not so, and we are divided into groups, right? We have divided groups. And among us are Muslims, they are jinn that are Muslims, and they are among us are the unjust. And whoever has become a Muslim, those have sought out the right course. You have jinn, and when we talk about exorcism, inshallah, in a week or two, you'll find that some of the jinn, they will say, we are Hindu, we are Christian, we are Muslim, we are Jewish, we don't believe in Allah. Right, they have religions of their own as well. What is a devil, inshallah? This is where the magic comes into play. We spoke about the jinn, their abilities and their power. Not all of them interact with insan, but the evil ones from among them, and these are called the shayateen, they interact with insan, and they cause harm and mischief. This is their agenda and their purpose. A devil, a shaitan, as Allah says in the Quran, and thus we have made for every Nabi, devil, shayateen, from mankind and jinn. Allah says, from insan there are devils. So sometimes we picture a devil must have a horn and must be red. No, a devil is anyone who disobeys Allah and encourages disobedience and look to mislead others. We all commit sin, doesn't mean you're a devil. But the person who actively works, and there's always a force. From the humans, Allah is saying, and the jinn, were actively looking to cause harm, to bring about evil. And the magicians are, of course, without a doubt, in this category of the shayateen. And they inspire to one another beautiful speech in delusion. So they actually come with beauty. And this is how they mislead insan. So any evil doer from the jinn or from man, Allah terms him as shayateen. And the chief one amongst them, of course, is Iblis. He is the first amongst them and the leader from amongst them. In hadith, he sends out his commandments like Allah sends out commandments to the angels. He sends out his commandments to the devils. Who have you misled? Who have you caused to fight? And they report back to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah Al-Kahf, and when Allah said to the angels, make sujood to Adam, So they all made sujood except Iblis. Some of us believe that this is an angel. This wasn't an angel. This is Iblis. He was of the jinn, Allah says, and he disobeyed the command of his Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had Iblis amongst the malaika, but he refused to make sujood. Why Allah asks him? He said, you made me from fire. So we know Iblis is a jinn. And therefore, the root behind magic, and this is what we talk about next week, is where the world of the jinn, and in particular, the devils from amongst the jinn, the evildoers, interact with humankind. And this is where harm is caused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, those who consume riba, we'll talk about riba in a few weeks' time, those who consume interest, on the day of Qiyamah, they will stand, they will not be able to stand, except like the one who stands and he's insane, he's mad, by the hitting them, by the touch of the jinn, of the devil. That the jinn and the devils can cause insanity by touching people, by coming in physical contact with insan. So Allah says, the one who eats interest will stand on Qiyamah like such a person who is led to madness through possession of the devil. So we know from this ayah that the jinn and the devils have the ability to physically encounter humans. How is this possible? This all comes into the chapter of magic. So inshallah, next week we'll discuss in detail the interaction between the devil and the devil and the magicians to bring about magic, and how we can protect ourselves. May Allah protect us and our children, all those, the believers, from all that is evil. There is no power except the power of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We remind inshallah, Jamaatul Muslimin, our classes on Mondays after Maghrib is the seerah classes. Alhamdulillah, moving very nicely. We have finished talking about the youth and the look and appearance of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to know what he looked like, what he was like before he became a Nabi, please join us. On Tuesday after Maghrib is our marriage class, and on Wednesday after Isha is our astronomy class. So please inshallah attend. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.